The sermon today is entitled, Getting Rid of Sin. All my life, I have been on the move. Long before I was a United Methodist pastor, my family had moved around a lot when I was growing up. I attended 6 different schools from 1st through 12th grade. When I went to college, everything I owned would fit into the trunk of my dad's car. He would make my brother and sister come with us and carry up my stuff the 3 flights to the dorm every semester. Now, though, 40 years later, when we move, Jeff and I fill up a huge moving truck with all of our stuff. We accumulate things, and then we part with them. As pastors, sometimes we have moved to a larger place, then we have moved to a smaller place. I have given away so much furniture through the years because of our countless moves. But how do we decide what to get rid of? How do we sort out what we need versus what we want? I love the commercial that shows this person in outer space, and they take a photo of something they love, they post it, and then they let it go, and then immediately, 2 seconds later, somebody else is in a spacesuit saying, I want that, and they buy it. That's why our rummage sale is such a success. We go through our house asking ourselves, what can I get rid of? We bring it here, we let it go, but then we go shopping downstairs and we bring more back home. It's a continual tide, life is, of getting, receiving, and keeping, and sorting, and getting rid of, and letting go. The author of this first letter of John is trying to convince the followers of Christ that they need to get rid of sin in their lives. Now, I know that sin is not a popular topic. We like to talk about other people's sins, and that's called gossip. But rarely do we want to sort out our own or spend much time even reflecting on our sin. Jesus put it this way, and it's sort of paraphrased, how can you focus on the speck of sin that's in your neighbor's eye when you have a whole log blocking your own vision? You can't see clearly or well enough to judge someone else when you already have your own stuff to deal with. So deal with your own log, Jesus teaches. And that is what John is telling the Christians to do. To deal with the problem of sin in our lives and to get rid of as much of it as is humanly possible. As a genuine disciple of Christ, we ought to be living more and more like Jesus and less like the devil. The Apostle Paul writes a lot about the topic of sin. The whole book of Romans, you can see Paul wrestling himself with this battle between good and evil. But sometimes his lessons are a little bit harder to understand. This writer from 1 John makes it simple and very clear. One of the points that the writer makes is that God is light. And in God, there is no darkness, no evil, no sin in God. So as Christians, when we abide in Christ, when we are connected with Christ, then we should be living in the light of God and giving off goodness and love and brilliance. The writer uses this idea of living in darkness to convey the person who is continually living a lifestyle of sinfulness, which is going against God. Over the years, I have known many people who have fallen during the night when they got out of bed and they said, oh, I can make it to the bathroom without turning on the light. And they try to go to the restroom and they're walking in the dark and they trip over the cat or they trip over their shoes that they had left by the bedside, and then they go to the emergency room. This has happened to so many people that I know. I advise people, get a light by your bed, a night light, a flashlight, your phone light, a lamp light, something to give light to the room to prevent a fall in the middle of the night. A lot of times people stumble over things that they cannot see in the dark. I have a terrible time with my nearsightedness when I go to a movie theater. When I first walk in, if I walk in and it's already dark in there, I felt so terrible. I ran over a woman one time, and she spilled her popcorn everywhere. I did not see because it was too dark for my eyes to be adjusted. So that should tell this person, you do not walk into the theater when it's that dark until you stand there and let your eyes get adjusted before you proceed. But you see, this is what the first John writer is trying to tell us about. When we live in the dark, when we walk in the darkness, we are going to face problems, danger, destruction, poor choices. We're going to suffer when we walk in the darkness. But the good news is we don't have to walk in the darkness. We can choose to walk in the light of God, to work on becoming more and more like Christ, and to let go of the darkness. Because if we don't, we will find ourselves broken and fallen and possibly far away from God. So how do we avoid being sinful? This is the million-dollar question. Human beings sin. God says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are not perfect. We give in to temptation of all kinds. However, when we are leaning on the everlasting arms, as the songwriter puts it, we can find power and strength to overcome temptations, just like Jesus did in the wilderness. Jesus was praying and he was fasting and he was tempted, but he turned to the Word of God. He turned to his Heavenly Father for strength to overcome temptation. When we practice spiritual disciplines, our faith is strengthened to the point that we can defeat the evil that lies in wait for us. Just like an athlete who trains to increase their physical stamina, to develop their muscles, to sharpen their skills, we too as Christians need to train. We need to trust in God. We need to learn more about what the Word of God is saying that is God's will for us. And we need to keep on working in our daily lives toward righteousness. God will help us to overcome our sin and temptation, but we have to first admit what is going on. One way that we get rid of sin is by confessing it to Christ. When we take the time to look at that log that is in our eye and admit that we have a problem, we can then confess to the Lord what we've done, or maybe what we haven't done but should do as a Christian, and God is faithful to forgive. Jesus has offered us salvation and forgiveness, but we are continually in need of being sanctified and cleansed by the Holy Spirit. As human beings, we know we don't just clean our bodies one time and never more. We wouldn't say, oh yeah, I took a bath once when I was a baby, but I don't need to wash anymore. Well, that's ridiculous. But some people think, well, Jesus washed away my sin when I was baptized, so I'm good to go for the rest of my life. No, we sin. We need to be cleansed and washed by Jesus daily. Hopefully we don't sin as much tomorrow as we did today. In the words of John Wesley, we strive for perfection in Christ, toward maturity in Christ. Our heart's desire is to do the will of God. And we have to keep sharpening our skills, developing our spiritual muscles, so that we can overcome the sin that used to haunt us. You know, the Olympic athlete doesn't just get out of bed one morning and win a gold medal. The athlete works for years in order to qualify for the Olympics, and then competes with the best athletes from around the world in their sport. As Christians, we want to offer our best to the Lord, and we need to be in training every day to grow, to work, to pray, to worship, to serve, to become more and more reflectors of the light and goodness of God. If we know that we have a problem with overspending, then we don't have to go into the shopping mall every weekend. Oh, but there's a sale going on, Pastor. Yeah, we go to a sale and we come out spending $200 more that we don't have than when we went in there because of a sale. Well, we can make a choice. Stay away if we know that's a problem. If we know we have a problem of anger that is out of control, out of the ordinary, we can choose to get help. Maybe we need some counseling to say, what's going on in my life that I'm angry all the time? The first step is to look at that log and confess to ourselves, you know what, I have a problem. I need some help. When we ask for help to find the light, God is overjoyed and eager to help us get the victory. Sometimes it's another Christian that we can trust, that we share, and they can support us and help us overcome whatever it is. Sometimes we need a professional counselor. Sometimes we might need to be admitted into the hospital, a detox unit, help getting not addicted to something. The writer of 1 John said that we touched Jesus, we lived with Jesus, we knew Jesus, we saw Jesus, we heard what God did through Jesus, and we want to share that joy with you. We want to share the light from God with the world. Many times, the way that God helps us overcome sin in our lives is by using other Christians to support us along our journey. Every week, I'm so inspired to see what people can accomplish. When we work together, just like yesterday with our porch sale, we are stronger as a church. The body of Christ is made more genuine and real to people when they see the love that is among us and between us. Hearing the stories of people's lives and how they've overcome sin and tragedy and obstacles is a way that we can grow. We can learn from each other. We can learn from other people's mistakes so that we don't travel down that road. And we can learn from other people's successes and how they were able to be successful. I love that the national news on TV now usually has at least one good, inspiring human story at the end of the broadcast. After 95% of it, they tell you all this negativity, but they have one inspiring story at the end. And I saw this story the other day about this white middle-class man who got one of those scam emails from Africa that was begging for money, and he said, oh, I'm going to stick it to this guy. I'm sick of these emails. And he wrote back this email promising this guy money and all kind of stuff. And then the guy wrote him back again. Eventually, these two formed a relationship, and the middle-class white guy went to visit this poor man in his home and saw the poverty that this man was dealing with, saw that he didn't have enough money to feed his children, not because he didn't want to work, but there was nothing available for him to do. And so he helped him start a little business. And this little guy, they started selling books about their relationship and their story. And he started helping the children go to school. And they started transforming this, starting with this one little group of people, having a ripple effect. It started transforming that little village. And this white middle-class man now is all about, you know, I have so much. What can I do to help these people become independent? And they're partnering together. And I was like, wow, first of all, this man confessed to the whole United States on TV that he was trying to stick it to this guy in Africa because he was sick of these scam emails. He confessed that. But then, when he got into this relationship with this person, things changed. And he began to see the genuine suffering of some other people on the other side of the world and began to say, you know what, we can do something to change this together. I was so inspired at the end of that story. When we see one person giving out light, it encourages us to march in the light of God as well. It gives us hope that we can do the same thing, that we can defeat sin, that we can live more like Jesus. The closer we get to God, the more we look like God. What does God look like? Well, look at Jesus. God looks like love. And when we fill our lives with the love of God, we can defeat sin. The Word of Life, I love that name for Jesus. The Word of Life takes away our sin, and we can get rid of the sin daily by confessing it, removing it, receiving God's forgiveness, and going out to share that mercy and compassion with the world. This is our challenge, to be the light of Christ, to become more like Christ, and to look more like God in our world. Amen.